And we pray and pray and we pray. And we just feel like sometimes, I'm thankful for your testimony, Brother Eddie, that lifts our faith. But sometimes it feels like nothing's happening. And so there was a man in the Old Testament, his name was Habakkuk, and he was struggling. He was struggling like we struggle. And as I was reading, I thought to myself, oh my, I said, this is today. This is what's happening to us today. So Habakkuk is speaking to me right now in what he has to say. And to preface this, I want to say, I know that we should not question the Lord when it comes to how we were made and formed and such. The Bible says in Romans 9 and 20, it says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing that formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? I understand that scripture. I know what he's saying. Why have you made me like I am? Why do I have disabilities? Why do I have a lisp? Or why do I have something? You know, I understand that. But at the same time, we have important people, prophets and kings who ask the Lord, even Asaph in Psalm 73, I think David in Psalm 82, in 94, Psalms 94, Jeremiah in 12, chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. And then if you remember in Revelation chapter 6, the souls under the altar, what was it they were asking God? How long? How long, O Lord, before justice will be done? And he said, just wait a little while longer. He gave them robes and crowns and said, just wait. Just wait. Be patient. We know God is not slack in his timing. We know that. We think and we live in what's called an instant society. I mean, right now you can pop, which I don't really mind it all that bad now because they've actually improved, but you can pop mashed potatoes or macaroni and cheese in the microwave, cook it for 2 minutes or however long it takes. I don't make it, you know that. But the fact is, it comes out and it's good. It's good food. But we live in an instant society. We pray to God and we say, Lord, please do such and such. And if it hasn't happened by the afternoon or by the next morning, we think, well, the Lord's just not listening to my prayers. Oh my goodness. Patience, folks. Patience. We need to have patience. Even the Bible says tribulation works patience. And we are under a lot of tribulation. But let's hear from Habakkuk, because he lived at a time, and I was studying this, and people differ on when he lived. They believe he lived when Manasseh was king, and Manasseh was an evil king. He actually went so far as to sacrifice, can you believe this? Sacrifice his own infant child to either Baal or Molech, I'm not sure which god, but he sacrificed to a pagan god, his own flesh and blood. And others believe Habakkuk lived in the time of Jehoiakim. And so it could have been, I'm not sure, but it really doesn't matter, because it wasn't so much as who was king, it was so much as to what he was seeing. And so he was a peer of Jeremiah and Zephaniah. Those were two other prophets in the Bible. And I'm going to read just portions, even though I have on my screen, when life doesn't make sense, Habakkuk chapters 1 through 3. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to read portions of it. And I'm going to do verse by verse. Brother Malin up there, I want you to just hold on to one verse. So Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 1. It starts out by simply saying the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. He had a burden, or at least he had a, it also be worded as an oracle, something that was going to be revealed by God. And so in verse 2, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2, he says, now notice his desperation, folks. Put your shoes or your sandals in his feet. Okay, or his feet and your feet and his sandals. Said that wrong. Anyway, he says, O Lord, How long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear? Notice the exclamation. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? What's Habakkuk talking about? He's looking about his country, his neighborhood, the people all about him. It's like everybody's just eat up with violence. Everybody's eat up with violence and hatred and division. And he's crying out to God. He says, Lord, help. Help. We need your help. And he says, how long do I need to cry about this? I'm curious as to how long he did. Folks, I think we give up too soon. I think when we cry to the Lord, I think we give up too soon. He told a parable about the persistent widow who kept coming to the judge. And the judge, basically, she would come and she'd say, avenge me. And he wouldn't. He didn't care. And the Bible even goes so far as to say he cared neither for God nor man. It didn't bother him. But the widow was so persistent. And Jesus was referring to prayer when he was talking about this, folks. She was so persistent that the unjust judge said, I'm going to go ahead and take care of business for this woman because lest she weary me, wear me out. You're not going to wear out God. You're not going to wear out God. First of all, he wants you to come to him. But folks, it may not happen on the time schedule that you have in mind. Keep that in mind because God has his time schedule. And so Habakkuk in verse 2, he says, how long shall I cry and you're not even listening? Or it seems like it. Or even if I cry out that there's violence and you will not save. Folks, we're watching our country right now being given over to, some cities are being given over to violence and hatred. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. I mean, for a while, they were trying to pin federal officers in the building and set it on fire and kill them. Not just kill them, murder. And then the FBI got some kind a leak or whatnot. I don't know how they found out, but supposedly somebody was going to fill up a vehicle with explosives and ram it into the building. How long, O Lord? Are we going to let this carry on? Why are we not doing something about it? Why are we not begging God to give us the strength and the wherewithal to get the job done, take care of it? But we look around, it's not just that. It's families, whole families. Not just some, occasionally it's whole families. Or just being divided apart, not only along political lines, but sometimes along religious lines. Because we believe something different. And we pray for each other and we ask God, how long, Lord? We pray for our families who are lost. I dare say there's not a person in here who doesn't know somebody who's lost. I dare say there's not anyone in here. And our heart breaks for those people. Because we see what's coming. And we're afraid they've got their eyes wide shut. That's a phrase I heard somebody say one time. Eyes wide shut. Living life, eyes wide shut. Not even paying attention to the signs of the times. Kind of like what one of the epistles said. You keep saying Jesus Christ is coming. Yeah, we've heard that. Who knows how long. And this is in the New Testament, okay? The New Testament epistles. Yeah, I keep hearing Jesus Christ is coming. When's his coming? Nothing's changed since creation. Of course, they conveniently leave out the flood. Either they don't believe it, or whatever, they ignore it. But that's the deal. They think nothing has changed. So Habakkuk, when I step into his shoes and I listen to what he's saying, I want to cry the same cry, because he's bringing our emotions to God. Usually it's God. has something to say to the prophet to deliver to the people. Here we have Habakkuk bringing our emotions to God. We'll get a moment to hear what God has to say about all of this. Verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. In other words, Lord, why are you showing me this? Why do I have to sit here and continually watch all the violence that's going on? And why do I have to watch families being split apart? And why do I have to watch, when he talks about there are a bunch of people who just want to raise strife and contention? We would call it H-E-L-L. People want to raise H-E-L-L. And sometimes I think I ought to get off social media because I watch too much. And it really brings me down. Really brings me down. The videos of the riots, the videos of the malcontents, people getting kicked in the head and the face to where they almost die, people being drug out of their vehicles. And yet, nothing is to be done. How long, O Lord? How long? Verse 4, Habakkuk 1, verse 4, he says this. Therefore the law is slacked. In other words, there's no law. There's no law. The law is being slackened here, and judgment doth never go forth. Nobody gets judgment or justice. See, Habakkuk, I think, is really... His heart is rending, it's tearing apart. Because he says, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Notice that. The wicked, they surround the righteous. And therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. People who we think ought to be judged, ought to be at least brought to justice in some way, seem to get away with it. Have you noticed that? A lot of people seem to get away with things. And you know they're not right. You know they're not right. But we have a, I don't know if it's a two-tier justice system in this country or whatever, but people can go out and create all these hoaxes, and I don't know if y'all heard the latest one, but there was a hoax, a fake kidnapping. I think it was a councilwoman that wanted to be a councilwoman. She faked her kidnapping and had it on video, did it on Facebook Live. It didn't take them a day to figure that one was a hoax and arrested her and the person who aided her. And I thought, oh my goodness, what have we come to? To win an election of a council seat, you would go through such dire straits as to fake your own kidnapping. But she did. And so Habakkuk is sad ain't the word for it. He's heartbroken. He's heartbroken. Well, God answers him. Let's listen to chapter 1, verse 5. He says, behold, ye among the heathen. In other words, take a look, Habakkuk, among all the heathen. I want you to behold all this. And he says, and regard, take notice, and wonder marvelously. In other words, you're going to see something. Oh my, Habakkuk, you're going to see something. And I can just imagine Habakkuk. Finally. Yes, Lord. Finally. He says, for I will work a work in your days. While you're still alive, Habakkuk, I'm going to do something that's just going to be so amazing. So amazing. Which you will not believe. though it be told you. He says, you're not going to believe it. I'm going to do something, and you're not going to believe it. And Habakkuk, I could just imagine his heart swelling like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I appreciate all that you're going to do. Thank you, Lord. Little did he know. It was going to get worse. It was going to get much worse. Folks, listen to these words and see if you can apply it to today. Verse 6 of chapter 1, he says, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans. Who are the Chaldeans? Does anybody know? The Babylonians. Babylon. I raise up the Chaldeans. And he calls them that bitter and hasty nation. Hasty nation. Oh my. Which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. In other words, they're coming and they're going to take stuff that's not theirs. They're going to take you. Verse 7 says this. And they are terrible and dreadful. And their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. In other words, they're going to do what they think is right. They're going to put their own laws, their pagan laws, into effect. Do you see that happening today, folks? People wanting to remove under God from our Pledge of Allegiance, and people don't want to acknowledge God. I'm watching in these videos where they're not only burning the flag, which is bad enough, but they're burning Bibles. Anti-Christian. It's okay in this country, believe it or not, it's okay by so many people to persecute and to harass the Christians. Do you realize what that's leading up to? It's leading up to something, and I'll talk about it in a moment. But it's leading up to something, and so God is saying, Habakkuk, I'm hear you. I hear you. And you know what? I'm going to do something that's going to fix this. But unfortunately, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Folks, sometimes in our families, in our life, it gets worse before it gets better. I'm like you, Pastor Eddie. You said, who would have thought a year from ago? When have we ever not celebrated Easter in church? Something as simple as a virus. Were they? Well, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. So Habakkuk, if you thought he felt bad first, now he really feels bad. Not only has he cried out for help because of all the violence, but here comes more violence. Here comes a people who are just going to take over. And Habakkuk is dismayed. I think he's maybe even doubting. I don't know. I read in one commentary, they said that Habakkuk was the doubting Thomas of the Old Testament. I don't know if I read it that way. But I'm going to jump now to Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12. I think I have the right verse. He says, this is Habakkuk now, the second time, after the Lord told him it was going to get worse, way worse. He says, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? Are you not eternal, Lord? We know you are. He says, we shall not die. In one translation, it says, surely you won't wipe us out. We're your people. You're not going to wipe us out, are you? Surely we will not die. We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them. You have to understand who them is. That's the Babylonians. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. In other words, God is sending somebody else to come over here and correct us. That's why I wonder if maybe we're not feeling a little bit of that right now. Pastor Eddie, you mentioned 9/11. Oh, how the people came and prayed when the planes hit. But you're right. That seemed to have faded away pretty quick. Prayer wasn't all that important anymore. Folks, I'm telling you right now, prayer is more important now than it ever has. Amen. Prayer and begging God to have mercy on our country. I don't know what kind of country my grandchildren are going to grow up in. Yes, have mercy. I pray God, if there's something we need to learn from this virus and from all the things that are transpiring, I mean, businesses are being shut down, churches are shutting down. I hope because of this. Are we not being corrected? I don't know. But when you have a nation who does not have any respect for the unborn, when you have a nation who has gone so far as to now, if an abortion is botched and the baby lives, or for whatever reason, the baby is alive. I'm sorry, folks. But the doctors, New York, they stood up and cheered. When the law was passed, they stood up and cheered. My God, help us. Make the baby comfortable until we decide what you want to do. The baby's alive. We would normally call that murder. We usually call it that anyway, but now it's even worse. And they tried to get that in Virginia. God have mercy on our nation. We have walked away from God in so many ways. So my cry to you today is to come back. Come back to God. And so Habakkuk is dismayed at God. He's saying, look, you're sovereign, Lord. You can do anything you want. And now I know you've ordained Babylon to correct us, to send them to correct us. Verse 13 says this, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. In other words, he's saying, your eyes are pure, Lord. Why are you going to bring on so much evil? And you have to watch. You have to watch this. And he says, and you canst not look upon on iniquity. Wherefore, you could say, why? Why look thou upon them that deal treacherously and hold thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Why are you holding your tongue when this evil, corrupt nation is going to take over us, whom he now considers more righteous? Remember at the beginning, he says there's just so much violence and there's so much evil, and wondering why the Lord's not doing something about it. Well, the Lord's going to do something about it. But now he's using somebody who's even more evil, more unrighteous than themselves. And they're going to come in and they're going to take over. So Habakkuk is worried. God, how can you do this? How can you behold so much evil and not look on their iniquity? And when they deal treacherously, Lord, how can you hold your tongue? Because we're your people. And so after he asks God that question, and by the way, Habakkuk, I could have read more scripture. Habakkuk went on to say, are you going to leave us as helpless as fish? I mean, I don't know how many people in here are fisherwomen. But what happens when you hook a fish? You pull them out of the water. They're pretty helpless, aren't they? My goodness. People I talk to, they say, I caught a fish so big that the water dropped 2 or 3 inches, you know. It's so big. That's a fish story, folks. That's a fish story. Yeah, people catch fish and they're helpless. And Habakkuk is saying, is that what we're going to be like now? Are we going to be fish that just on a hook and be dragged in and they're going to revel over us? They're going to celebrate over us? Well, God answers, well, let me go back. Chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk thinks maybe he stepped in it now. Maybe he's gone too far, not sure. Because verse 1, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Think about that. First of all, it's good to get alone with God. And that's what Habakkuk is doing. He's getting alone with God. Spend time with God. If you don't, spiritually, you may start to fade. You may get weak in your spirit until you spend time with the Lord. But on top of that, he says he's going to get alone by himself and he's going to stand there and he's going to wait and see what the Lord has to say when I am reproved. In other words, he figures God's going to really come back and give it to him now. God's going to come back and tell him like it is, who's boss. Well, that's what he's expecting. Chapter 2, verse 2 says this, the Lord answers Habakkuk the second time. And it goes like this, And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, talking about stone, okay, that he may run that readeth it. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. In other words, it's in the future, Habakkuk. It's coming, but wait for it. Wait for it. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Verse 4, chapter 2, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. In other words, we don't exalt ourselves. We don't lift ourselves up. But the just shall live by faith. Interesting to see that verse there. It could have also said by faithfulness. You see, the Jews didn't really distinguish between the two. If you have faith, you're going to be faithful. I mean, wouldn't you? If you have faith in Jesus Christ, wouldn't you want to come to his services? Wouldn't you want to gather with people of like-mindedness and praise the Lord and give him glory? Of course. Faithfulness. Even James in the New Testament. He says, you say you have faith. And I'm paraphrasing. And he says, well, I'll show you my faith by my works. by his faithfulness. Think about that. The just shall live by faith. It was repeated in Galatians, Romans, and Hebrews. So folks, here's how I want to conclude. There is an appointed time coming. We call it the tribulation period. This is when all things will be coming to an end. If you're not willing to live for Christ now, I don't know what makes you think you're going to live for Christ afterwards, when he comes and takes his people away. At least that's our belief, that we are not appointed to wrath, but he will save us from this wrath. Why would he beat up on his bride before he takes her home? So, I see it coming, folks. And you know what? There's nothing right now that I know of. The man we call the Antichrist could be living right now at this moment. Could be living right now at this moment. I would be surprised if he's not alive at this moment. I would be surprised. Folks, there's going to come a time on this earth when it's going to be hell on earth. If you think it's bad now, this is just a trial run. This is just a trial run to see how much power the government has over us and to see how much they can get us to comply before we actually revolt in the streets. This is a trial run, folks. And it's not just this country, it's every other country. It's a trial run. It's a predecessor to the 7 years that's coming. And if you don't know Christ, you don't want to go through those 7 years. Trust me, you don't want to go through those years. So I urge you to consider, to reflect, and think about your own spiritual self. The Bible says, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. Because the time is short, much shorter than it was last Sunday when we preached the same message almost. I tell you, people, I know we keep preaching the same message and people keep thinking that, oh, I've heard that over and over and over. Christ ain't coming. He says, you've said that years upon years. He's coming. He's coming. And will you be ready? Will you be ready? If not, I don't know what you will have to endure. And folks, I don't know how bad it will have to get before he comes. Some of you, and I was one of those crowd, I would think, you know, Jesus could come, you know, like right now and just take us all away. What if it gets worse? Like in Habakkuk's time. What if it gets way worse than what, like it was in Habakkuk's time before Christ comes? Do you realize that right now in China, I saw the article, broke my heart, the Chinese Christians, some who were getting assistance from the government, they were getting some kind of monetary assistance, that in order to get that now, you have to renounce Christ. Why would they add that? In order to get government assistance, you have to renounce Christ. Are you going to sit and watch your children starve? What if that were to happen here? To get any kind of assistance whatsoever, you have to renounce Christ. God, help us to stay strong, to stay united, and live for Christ. So that you will be strong. Put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt girded about with truth, the shoes shod with the preparation of peace, the shield of faith. Of faith, it takes faith. And the sword, which is the word of God. put on that armor. It's not your armor, it's God's armor. Heavenly Father, I have spoken the words that I think you have given to me. And I believe, Lord, that you are coming soon. I pray our people be ready. We cry out night and day sometimes for our families who walk around with their eyes wide shut, not even looking, beholding the times. And so, Lord, we ask you, if there's anyone here who's lost, please come. They can just fill up the altar. They don't have to wait for me. They can come. And Lord, if there's anybody who has a need of some sort, any need, healing, spiritual, financial, any need, we would be so happy to pray for them. Let them come. And Lord, if we stand in for other people who are sick and afflicted and couldn't be here, some are still afraid and some are concerned, Lord. They're concerned. They don't know when normalcy will return, if it will return. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us in these uncertain times when life doesn't make sense. That you will move for us, Lord, in ways that we don't even know. Yes, it could be worse before it gets better. But God, however you do it, let us rely on you. Let us hold fast to you. Let us give our hearts to Jesus Christ. In his precious name, amen.